here at the Global Dairy 500 Conference. I'm speaking with Mike Hutchins from University of Illinois. And first of all, Mike, tell me what you do there at the university.
Well, basically, I'm sitting working on a 50% teaching appointment, which means we teach on campus and on the internet, and the other 50% is extension. So we put on meetings much like we have here today all over the Midwest.
Well, here at this conference, I know we're talking with an international group. We've got a lot of challenges in the industry, and ways to become more efficient is certainly what some of these guys have told me they're looking for. You had a discussion with them just before we started this interview about what feed choices they should make in a downturned economy. What should you leave in and what should you leave out? I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. So what's your answer to that?
Well, we boiled it down to five very quick answers. One of the answers had to do with forages and forage quality. I think that's our ace in the hole. We talked a little bit about how to maintain milk production. We never give up milk production, even though it may be a little more expensive where that milk or milk component is a little less valuable. It makes a little difference if you're in Florida versus Illinois in terms of some of these components. So that has to be considered in, and same thing in foreign countries. We looked a little bit at feed additives, simply saying how do they fit into this stage game. Byproduct feeds, right now we have several that are just dirt cheap right now, and our farmers, at least in the Midwest, just have to look at those as far as that goes, and then don't make the wrong mistakes. And that was probably the big take-home message, is that it looks like the price of milk is going to start coming back, at least short-term, and we need to have the best team on the field. It's kind of like a football team. I don't need to be bunged up. I need to have the best team out there, and we made the wrong decisions in the last 6 months. We're going to pay for that probably the next year in terms of health and reproduction and performance.
So when you talk about what to leave in, what to leave out, how about on the nutrition side in terms of the rations and what you're putting into that animal?
Well, basically, if you go with the premise you never give up milk, and I think all the economics says you can't give up milk, and so I'm going to certainly look at alternatives. So in other words, if corn is too expensive in Georgia or in Brazil, then I'm going to take a look and say, what else could I substitute for that? For us, that could be corn gluten feed. Forages, I'm going to look at the best quality forages I can get my hands on. In Illinois, that's corn silage. Easily wins as far as that goes, and it'll be the most economical ration on top of it. So certainly, I'm saying, are there other economical choices out there? Some of the organic trace minerals can be fairly economical as we can feed lower levels of them as far as that goes. Putting in one of the additives that's very hot now is mycotoxin binders, because we know that if there are some aflatoxins, mycotoxins in the feedstuff, it affects performance and fertility. And so certainly we wouldn't pull that out, even though it does maybe cost us, say, 8 or 9 cents.
I know you've talked with some of the attendees here. What's kind of like the question you get asked most often?
Well, the good news is most people agree that they're not going to give up milk production. The question is, for example, we had a discussion on corn silage. What about some of the new varieties? How about the low lignin corn silages? How about if I chop the corn silage higher? How long should I leave it in storage to make it really work? And the answer there is, if it's in storage 3 or 4 months, it's a hotter feed, because certain things happen as it sits in the fermentation process and the juices and that as well. So certainly a lot of questions, how can we make that really work even more efficiently? And certainly some of the questions on, well, what is the butterfat test? What is an optimal butterfat test? And there's about three ways to answer that. For Holstein, it could be a 3.9 is a wonderful test for Illinois because we get paid for it. In Georgia, they don't get paid for it. So in Florida. So the question is, how much lower could you go and still have healthy cows and good performance? Those are the kinds of questions, and those are the right kinds of questions to ask, is how can I try to stretch my feed costs and still get the performance I'm looking in my cows?
So just a short-term outlook next year or so, how would you characterize what you expect to see in the industry?
Well, I think it's going to be a bit tough, to be very honest with you. It looks like we still have a lot of $14, $15 milk looking for the next year on the board. Illinois, I take $16 for my average dairyman. Now, be well aware there's a number of above-average dairymen. They will do probably okay next year. Feed costs look pretty reasonable right now. We're sitting on a big crop of corn and soybeans in the Midwest, and it looks like feed costs should stay fairly moderate at this stage of the game. Looks like fuel costs, at least short-term right now, now, unless something happens in the Middle East or something, it looks pretty good as well. Fertilizer costs look good at this point as well. So that should bring my feed costs or keep that fairly stable. So it could be a favorable year next year, but I don't think we're going to see what we saw in 2007, 2008, which were just excellent years for most all dairy farmers here in the U.S. and probably worldwide.
Well, thank you very much. That's Mike Hutchins, who has been speaking here at the Global Dairy 500 Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.